All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined by the Falcoholics, Kevin Knight. We're going to be talking about the ongoing roster battles, final roster predictions, and some potential surprise cuts that the Falcons can make this weekend.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Before we get started, guys, on today's Locked On Falcons, I want to let you know that this season, get your football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. So on today's episode, I am Aaron Freeman, your host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And I will be joined by the Falcoholics, Kevin Knight, where we will be talking about the final cuts and surprise cuts and some intriguing roster battles and just sort of talking about, things that we always talk about in the days leading up to final cuts and sort of some of the key battles that we're interested in. We'll talk a little bit more about the Falcons adding Kyle Laletta, the quarterback from Richmond, to their roster on Wednesday and sort of what that means. Does that indicate that the team is unhappy with guys like Matt Schaub, Kurt Benkert, or dare I say even the incomparable Matt Ryan? Who knows? We'll get Kevin's thoughts on that coming up on today's podcast. So, guys, it's me, Aaron Freeman, host of Locked On Falcons, and I'm joined by a guest that needs no introduction. He's been a frequent guest here on Locked On Falcons. That is none other than Kevin Knight of The Falcoholic. You can check him out most Wednesdays on Falcoholic Live talking about the Falcons. Kevin is joining us today to talk about the Falcons' final roster cuts and roster battles and all the intrigue surrounding that will be coming later this weekend when teams across the NFL make their final cuts down to their 53-man roster. And we'll sort of pick Kevin's brain about some of those potential moves that he could see the Falcons doing. But before we get into that, I do want to talk with Kevin about the unexpected signing of quarterback Kyle Laletta on Wednesday, or at least unexpected if you weren't me and tweeted about it back last May. But no, the Falcons wound up signing one of the quarterbacks they worked out last weekend in Kyle Laletta. And Kevin, I'm sort of curious, as we often do, try to sit here and try to figure out why the Falcons do the things that they do, sort of what were your thoughts behind the decision to bring in Kyle Laletta? Do you feel like it's just the team trying to kick the tires on a potential practice squad guy? Is this a shot across the bow for someone like Kurt Benkert or Matt Schaub, and maybe their roster spot is not necessarily guaranteed? What are your thoughts on this signing?
This late in camp, you would think, like, if they had a problem with Schaub or Benkert, like, they would have addressed it a long time ago. So I don't think it really has much to do with those two. It's probably like an emergency COVID signing. Like, they want a fourth guy for the practice squad that they can have as an emergency option. You know, they don't want to have to scramble during the week to bring in somebody and teach them how to run the offense in like 2 days flat. And like, Laletta is a guy that has talent. You know, he was a fourth round draft pick, very accurate passer, doesn't really have any of those high end traits like arm strength or anything like that, that you would want from like a starter. But in terms of a backup, he's a guy that can really keep your offense moving. So he makes sense from that perspective. I think more than anything, it's probably like a COVID thing and then maybe a future focused move, and that, you know, they know Matt Schaub is someone who's not going to be around for much longer. I guess maybe, you know, much longer could be 5 years with Matt Schaub. Who knows at this point? But I think they like Benkert as the developmental guy because he's got the ceiling, you know, with his arm strength, size and all that good stuff. But Laletta is kind of that just reliable backup that doesn't really have the ceiling of a future starter because of his lack of ideal arm strength. So I think it's maybe like a move that could be, you know, Benkert's the future number two, Laletta's the future number three, and they just want to kind of keep him around and evaluate him this year to determine if maybe they need to look at quarterbacks, you know, in next year's draft or next year's undrafted class. But for the most part, I think it's probably inconsequential in terms of will it affect the 2020 season in any way, but practice squad most likely.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's what I gleaned from it as well. It seems to be more of that sort of plan C move, because correct me if I'm wrong, I think you had Benkert going on the practice squad in your final roster prediction. Is that correct?
I actually had him making the roster as of today.
Okay.
Which came out at like as in seven minutes ago, 3 o'clock on Wednesday.
Okay. But, I thought I saw one from you earlier this week that had him on the practice squad. Okay.
I think that was Dave's. Yeah. Okay. Dave. That's like one of the very few differences between our roster projections. But yeah, I had Benkert actually making the squad again because of COVID. Like, I think they're going to be more cautious with the quarterback group than they generally are. Like, they generally keep two. This year, I think they're just going to keep three because they don't want to worry about shuffling guys between the practice squad and the main roster in the event of like an emergency situation. So, I do have him making the roster. But in terms of like who the quarterback two is, it's probably still Schaub.
Okay. All right. That makes sense then. Yeah, because in my mind were like I had Benkert making the practice squad and not the roster. And it's like the Falcons have never really carried more than three quarterbacks on the roster, including the practice squad. And so the idea of bringing in Laletta, if Benkert was going to make the roster or be the practice squad guy, seems like it was more of like a plan C in the event that they cut Benkert and he doesn't clear waivers and they just need another body. And for whatever reason, they can't get Danny Etling back because he decides to be on the Seahawks practice squad or something else. So I guess from that perspective, it makes sense. But yeah, as you said, kind of this late in the timeline with basically like 3 days of practice before, you know, the team has to make roster decisions, it's really highly unlikely that Laletta can make much of an impression for this team. But I guess they want to give, if he does wind up being on the practice squad, I guess they want to give him some reps, you know, some in-game reps, in-practice reps, so that at least he's not starting completely fresh if and when next week happens and they need to bring him in for the practice squad.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
So we will continue the conversation about the Falcons roster battles and sort of pick Kevin's brains on some of the key positional battles that he was keeping an eye on going into the summer and sort of how those battles have sort of turned out coming out of the summer now that we're practically at the end and the season's about to kick off. So before we continue, guys, I want to give a shout out to today's sponsor, which is, of course, NFL Game Pass. You know, part of the brand of this podcast and my Twitter is, you know, I'm grinding film every day and NFL Game Pass is how I do it. You know, me, I watch the games live on Sunday. Then on Monday, I come back and watch the condensed version of the game where you can watch the entire Falcon game or whoever you're watching in under 45 minutes. Then I come back and watch the coaches film on Tuesday and then come at you guys later in the week on Locked On Falcons to break it all down. So I'm watching every game three times, once live, two times afterwards in order to get everything from the game. You guys can too. All you got to do is go to NFL.com/GamePass to start your free trial today. And not only are you getting access to the all 22 coaches film, you're getting access to the condensed version. You can get access to the broadcast version. You're also getting access to what some of the league's best players are talking about and how they're breaking down their own film, the concepts, the techniques. From over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes, you can learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Adams, and many more. And you can, again, you can get it all at NFL.com/Game Pass and start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. So, Kevin, picking up where we left off, I want to ask you about some of the position battles and camp battles that you were looking forward to seeing how they played out going into the summer and sort of what are your thoughts on how some of those things turned out?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the big one was like left guard, right? And, you know, I think it's I think you and I were both kind of low on Matt Hennessy's chances of actually like being the starter at left guard because of Carpenter and Jamon Brown, you know, may he, you know, rest in peace on the free agency market. It does appear that Hennessy has locked up left guard. That seems to be the buzz that's coming out of camp and that he actually probably locked it up like a week ago even, which I hope that's more of like, he's just been really good as opposed to like James Carpenter and company are just really bad. So that's what I'm hoping. But it is an interesting outcome. And it, you know, it is getting some of the young players in there, and it's not the worst idea in the world to try to get, you know, your third round pick who you think is going to be a starter in 2021, some actual game reps, you know, before he has to kind of take over the being the leader of the offensive line in the center there. So that makes sense to me. Also interesting is that Justin McCray, who has never played center to my knowledge, is the backup center now, which is another interesting development. I mean, he's a guy I like. I think he was miscast at tackle when he came into the league and has looked a lot better as an interior guy. So interesting that he's maybe kind of taken the primary interior backup spot from Carpenter, even because of his ability to play center. So that to me is one of the more interesting battles that we've seen so far.
Yeah. The thing about McCray was that when he was with Green Bay, he did get preseason reps at center, predominantly at center, but then in over the course of the season, whether it was Green Bay, whether it was Cleveland or and whoever else he's played for the last couple of years, they always needed more help at guard and tackle during the season. So he never really got any in-season reps at center, but he had preseason reps there.
Yeah, that's good. That's good to know. I didn't actually know that. So that's, yeah. I mean, clearly he can play it or they wouldn't be comfortable making him the backup center. So, I mean, he's a guy that can basically play any spot on the offensive line. Not that you really want him playing tackle. He does not have length. I mean, that's his big issue. But I mean, it's valuable. Like, hey, if you can play tackle and you played tackle before, so we don't have to trot out, you know, Levine Toilolo at right tackle if injuries strike, then, you know, that's always a plus. So, yeah, I mean, I like McCray. I think he's probably a better guard than James Carpenter and or Jaywan Brown. I don't know what he would be at center if he had to come in. We're just going to hope that we don't have to find out.
Yeah, yeah. I think with Hennessy starting at left guard, I think basically the hope is if there's – any injuries on the offensive line, you'll see the Falcons turn to Matt Gano to fill in, you know, whether it's a guard or a tackle. And then, you know, if it's a center, I think maybe they would give Hennessy a look before they give McCray in an actual game during the regular season. But then again, you do wonder how many reps has Hennessy actually taken at center over the course of the summer based off of all the reports with Alex Mack being out. And it's been seemingly McCray getting all those reps. So maybe McCray would be the first guy up if Alex Mack were to miss a game, but we'll see. Hopefully we don't have an answer to that question. Hopefully we
yes.
get, you know, all 16 starts from all five guys. And generally speaking, that usually means that the Falcons are going to the playoffs based off of their history. So
if we have healthy offensive line, generally good things happen.
Yeah. But that's generally the rule. So you mentioned sort of the battles on the offensive line. Were there any other position battles that you were sort of intrigued by, or even if they weren't necessarily starting spots, maybe some of the back end roster battles that you know, I know I'm a Sherrod Neesman guy, so I'm always invested in him making the team, but were there any guys, you know, elsewhere on the roster that you were particularly invested in seeing what they would do this summer?
Yeah, but we could talk about safety first, because that is an interesting one. I mean, the late signing of JJ Wilcox to me kind of signaled that they weren't really satisfied with their safety depth. We know that the team has some kind of problem with Sherrod Neesman actually playing on defense. They're perfectly fine playing him on literally every special teams unit, but like actually putting him on defense is something that they just don't seem willing to do. And so I guess the signing of JJ Wilcox to me probably spells doom for Neesman, at least on the active roster. He could very well find himself on the practice squad and probably deserves to be there at worst. But yeah, I mean, with Jalen Hawkins missing the beginning of camp on the COVID list, they probably felt like they needed to get a veteran just to make sure, you know, God forbid anything happens to Neil again this season, that they have a veteran in there to kind of take over. And Jalen Hawkins probably the future there in terms of the backup at strong safety. But Wilcox is who I have making it in addition to Jalen Hawkins. And then I have Neesman on the practice squad, but that's one spot that's interesting. Did you have Neesman making it in your projections?
I did not, because the Falcons always do things to make me mad. So that was the one prediction I had where it's like, this is going to be the thing that pisses me off. so I had Neesman on the practice squad as well. I think I had Chris Cooper making it as the last safety.
Yeah, that makes sense too. They do like his versatility. Let's see. Another one, obviously wide receiver is always a fun one just because it seems like the Falcons always bring in good undrafted wide receivers and there's always some sort of battle there. The lack of like preseason has made it a little less exciting because we don't actually get to see anyone. But I mean, it seems like Chris Roland, the Tennessee State undrafted guy, has locked up the returner job. It's, from what I've heard, you know, he's been the most impressive there kind of by far, which doesn't surprise me because they were like, oh yeah, Brandon Powell, he's going to compete. Like Brandon Powell's returned like 20 kicks in his entire career, like total. So, like, I mean, no offense to Brandon Powell, but I just, you know, I don't think you were really getting a lot of plus play there. And the fact that they gave Roland like $80,000 as a training camp bonus, which is basically all their bonus money, basically told you what you needed to know, that they were expecting him to kind of win that job. So I'm excited to see him. I think he's going to be a good returner. And, you know, like you said, hey, don't need to draft a returner if you can get one as an undrafted free agent, right? So, you know, that should be good for your brand there.
Yeah.
Don't draft a returner. It does sound like Laquan Treadwell has been kind of disappointing. I think it would be surprising if he didn't make the roster, but I think like Alamide Zaccheaus might kind of be firmly ahead of him in terms of the wide receiver pecking order. So that I have Alamide Zaccheaus as the wide receiver 4 and Treadwell as the 5. And then I don't know if they're going to use Roland on offense at all. I mean, he's kind of more of a gadget player at his size, but it's possible, you know, if they could find kind of a Taylor Gabriel like role for him. Like cornerback is kind of interesting because, you know, are they going to keep 5 or 6? Let's see. Yeah, I mean, I think I had them keeping 6, and Josh Hawkins was the guy that made it as the 6th option. Maybe he gets booted for Jordan Miller when he comes back. But yeah, I mean, they have a lot of talent at corner, so someone there is probably going to get pushed off the roster, whether it's Miller or Hawkins. I don't know if you had any battles that you were watching of the rest of these groups that you found interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think you named most of them. There wasn't, I guess maybe that last defensive line spot, right?
Yeah.
Where there's been a lot of buzz recently that like someone like Deidre Sanat is on the bubble over the last couple of weeks. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on sort of that?
Yeah, I think he's gone. Like, I don't even know if they're going to put him on the practice squad, which is extremely disappointing. But I mean, looking back, like I liked Sanat the player, but if you look at it in context of like what they were trying to do with this defensive line, he just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense for various reasons. Like they value athletes and they value length and all these things. And they value those tweeners too. And Deidre Sanat's basically like none of those things. Like he's clearly a defensive tackle. He's not a guy that offers you any outside versatility. He's not athletic. He tested out really, really poorly. And he's very small for like a nose tackle. And it seems like they wanted him to be like a run stuffer, which is fine. But then they basically went out and got Tyler Davison, like a big, like traditional 3-4 nose tackle, and then said, actually, Sanat, you know, we don't really want you out there. And then he was inactive every game. And then now they have Silo Silatu, who is an actual big 3-4 nose tackle. And it's like, I don't know what Deidre Sanat does better than Latu if you're looking for just a run stuffer at that spot. And I think Sanat offers more as a pass rusher, but, you know, they're never – going to put Sanat on the field over Grady Jarrett or Marlon Davidson or John Kaminsky. So like, I just don't see where he fits on the roster at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you on that. Like I always sort of kept him on my roster projections just because like what happens if Tyler Davidson gets hurt or something like that and having him on the roster, because I imagine if you do cut him, someone's going to come by and scoop him up, you know? So like if you want to keep Deidre Sanat around, even if it's just as an emergency option, as a depth piece, then you kind of need to keep him on the roster, because I don't think the chances of him winding up on your practice squad is particularly high. So like if the Falcons cut him, like he's gone, you know, that's the end of that.
Yeah.
But you never know, you know, the Falcons let Neesman go. They let Jermaine Grace go. They let, I'm blanking on somebody else that they let go and they came back. Mm-hmm. So it's not, Brian Hill. And, you know, I guess it's possible that in the future.
It's possible.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I want to keep this conversation going. And we kind of touched upon Deidre Sanat, but I also want to get Kevin's thoughts on maybe some other potential, quote unquote, surprise cuts on this Falcons roster that might get the axe coming up on today's episode. But I don't know about you guys, but I got a couple of fantasy drafts coming on this weekend. I know many of you have already done your fantasy drafts, but if you're like me and you're in a couple of leagues that wait to the last minute to get their fantasy drafts in, that means you have to wait for the last minute to cram to get all your information. And of course, that means you should be subscribed to the Locked On Fantasy Football podcast hosted by Vinny Iyer, where Vinny's giving you tips and tricks to help you win your fantasy league every single day. And you can find them on your favorite podcast platform, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. So, Kevin, I'm curious. We already kind of talked about Deidre Sanat being a cut. And, you know, one of the things I've said on earlier episodes where we've done Q&As here on Locked On Falcons and people have asked me about surprise cuts. And my take was like, well, I don't know if anybody's technically a surprise cut anymore, because it seems like everybody that would be cut is not necessarily a surprise. But I will ask you that question as well and see maybe that you're better with conjuring up a surprise cut, at least in your eyes. Or are there anybody else on this Falcons roster that you wouldn't be, or you could see the Falcons, you know, letting walk this weekend?
It'll be interesting to see what they do with their tight ends, because to me, the signing of Luke Stalker signaled that they weren't really happy with Kari Lee or Jerod Pinkney. So I think a lot of fans were really excited about Pinkney, you know, someone that had a day three grade, even an early day three grade, according to some analysts, you know, going undrafted and ending up on the Falcons. It doesn't really seem like he's done anything to really impress them. Signing of Luke Stalker kind of confirms that for me. Now, I guess it's possible they could keep four tight ends, but that's not something they've really done in recent years. I mean, I think the last time was when they had Kyle Shanahan as the head coach. So, you know, I think like Kari Lee, who's someone I like, and Jerod Pinkney, someone I also like, you know, both of those guys I think are likely to be cut. Both of them could also be practice squad guys, though. Like, you know, Lee's potential low-cost blocker, and Pinkney, you know, undrafted, has some potential. I'm not sure. You know, he's someone that might be potentially poached, because, you know, we're not the only people that know he was a draft-graded tight end. But, you know, what we'll see there. I mean, I wouldn't be totally shocked if Charles Harris got the axe, just because I don't really think he's done a whole lot in camp. But they'd be eating, you know, a significant amount of cap space, you know, like $1 million for cutting him. So that's obviously not ideal. But yeah, I think that's another name. I think a lot of people have had high hopes for Edmund Robinson, the XFL linebacker, me included. But when we heard this whole thing, I think it was Vaughn or D-Led that tweeted out, you know, oh, the team loves Leroy Reynolds' leadership and his fire that he's brought to the team. It's like, okay, well, they're keeping Reynolds and they're not keeping six linebackers. So unless you think they're cutting Deion Buchanan, I don't, then Edmund's probably not making the roster. I think he's another practice squad guy. Like most of these guys, I think, you know, worst case scenario is they end up on the practice squad or get a call from another team. So these are guys I think that still, you know, are going to be around. Let's see if I had anyone else in mind. I mean, honestly, like we've seen the Falcons sometimes, you know, PED suspensions land guys in the doghouse. So, you know, the Falcons have a decision to make with Jordan Miller. It wouldn't be this weekend. It would be, you know, prior to week four, you know, whether or not to bring Miller back or to cut him and try to stash him on the practice squad. That would not totally shock me if they decided to move on from Miller just because he had a suspension, didn't really play much last year. You know, he's kind of positioned himself in a difficult spot there, like where they would have to choose between a veteran like Josh Hawkins and Miller. I think it's still a better chance than not that he sticks and they probably, you know, move on from Hawkins at that point. But that's another, that would be a big one, potentially surprising, but that wouldn't come until, you know, partway into the season.
Yeah. I had something I wanted to say, but I don't remember what it was. Oh, it was, I think the good thing about this year with the COVID stuff and the expanded practice squad is a lot of the guys that normally wouldn't be eligible for the practice squad are now eligible for the practice squad. Mm-hmm. You know, like guys like Laquan Treadwell and Charles Harris and these guys you can potentially keep. And I think one of the intriguing things I'm curious to sort of see with NFL teams, are we going to see the same sort of waiver wire pickups that we would normally see at the, you know, for the final cuts, because everybody's like, oh, this guy really shined in that second preseason game, let's get him in. Right. But because teams don't have that, are they just going to basically just trust their own in-house scouting and basically, so it may be that some of these guys that we've been speculating, like, oh, that guy's going to get claimed, you know, if they cut him or whatever, they might wind up clearing waivers and could wind up sticking back on the Falcons practice squad. So I think this summer offers some interesting opportunities for some of these guys that we would normally just kind of write off and say like, oh, that guy's not going to stick. You know, they can potentially come back on the practice squad.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, teams aren't going to have any tape on these guys, even limited preseason tape. So it's basically going to be like hearsay they're basically going off the data that we have. So, you know, they're having their pro personnel guys scan Twitter, you know, for the snippets about these guys that are getting cut. And For the most part, it's probably going to be what you said. Like, they're just going to rely on their own evaluations, probably stick with the guys they've had in camp. You know, there'll probably be a little bit of shuffling here and there because there will be some surprise cuts. There always are. Maybe, you know, cap casualty type players. But, yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see a more in-house practice squad than normal because of, like, the veteran rules that have changed. You know, you can keep six veterans with any amount of experience on the practice squad this year. And you can protect four players as well from being claimed by other teams once they make it on the practice squad. So, like, I assume, you know, we'll see guys like Kyle Auletta if they do put him on the practice squad. Probably going to protect someone like him to make sure he doesn't just get randomly poached, you know, if he's their emergency quarterback. But I am interested to see how teams use those protected spots and what goes into those choices, you know, if they have guys that they're really, you know, interested in keeping around long term. So, yeah, I agree with you there on your assessment of practice squad candidates.
How does it feel, Kevin, to know that, you know, some pro scout for the Green Bay Packers or the Denver Broncos may be reading your tweets in order to decide whether or not his team should go after a certain player?
Yeah, I mean, it gives me a lot of power. Like, if I had thought about this in advance, you know, I probably would have started, like, putting out some fake, you know, news to try to throw people off, be like, you know, oh, yeah, you know, so-and-so is just Sean Harlow's crushing it out there. You know, he might be a surprise cut. You better pick that man up. You know, he's going to start for it, find a starting job somewhere and, you know, hope that one of the teams we're going to play, you know, gets that memo. But yeah, I didn't realize it in time. So, it's too late probably to take advantage of that now.
Yeah. Smoke season 2.0, I guess.
Yep.
So, Kevin, I think there we have it for today's roster talk. Go ahead and plug your Twitter, plug Falcoholic Live, and sort of the content that you guys put up last night. I imagine you guys were talking quite a bit about these same topics on your Wednesday show.
Yep. So, yeah, Falcoholic Live, Wednesdays at 8:10 p.m. This was our roster prediction show. And we're going to have Keenan Forney back on for that one. So that's a fun show to check out. If you guys haven't heard Keenan's thoughts on the roster and stuff like that, he's very knowledgeable, especially about the offensive linemen. So that's been a lot of fun. That's on YouTube. So you can find that there. Also I am on Twitter at Falcoholic Kevin, and thefalcoholic.com is where you can see my articles. I did not make it through all 80 players on the roster. Unfortunately, there are some undrafted free agents that I did not make it to. So I apologize to those fine players. They deserve better, but you know, there's only so many days in the calendar, so I tried my best, you know, those will continue on through Friday, and then Saturday, you know, that'll be the last day of that. But those player profiles are out there, and then my roster projection, as we said, came out on Wednesday as well, so you can check that out.
Okay. When I saw you put out Hinwa Aoyu's player profile, I was like, okay, oh, yeah. Like he made it pretty deep. I didn't think he was going to get even to that.
We made it. Yeah. We got to some undrafted guys. Yeah, we got there.
I was like, okay. You got the Hinwa Aoyu. I didn't, you know, I figured he was like number 79 on your,
we're digging deep. Yeah.
All right, man, Kevin, appreciate it. You coming on, talking this stuff. I'm sure I will be talking with you during the course of the season. Hopefully, it will be, you know, saying some positive things about a recent Falcons win or an upcoming Falcons win. So I look forward to chatting with you later this year.
Yes, we will hope for good things this year. I was hopeful until we saw that Dirk Cutter tweet, and then, that put me back. Put me back to 7-9.
He knows how to do it. He did it earlier in the offseason when he was talking about Todd Gurley not being healthy, and people were like, "Wait, this is still a thing? I thought we moved past that." And then he's like, "Hey, you know."
You know, the Ravens, they don't target the tight end.
They don't use that tight end really at all. No, Mark Andrews
hasn't. They just didn't use Hurst. Okay, yeah. That's different.
you know, it's not like Mark Andrews was Lamar Jackson's favorite wide receiver or anything like that.
Well, that's the thing. He's a wide receiver.
Clearly. All right, Kevin, man, I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right, man. All right, guys, some more roster battles and discussion with Kevin Knight. Check out Falcoholic Live on Wednesday. Check out the episode they did yesterday as you guys are listening to, or at least most of you guys are listening to this on Thursday. We'll see what the Falcons do later this week on Saturday when they have to make final cuts. And then on Sunday, I believe, is when they have to make their practice squad decisions. But if you guys have any thoughts on the roster battles, roster cuts, any surprise cuts, any players that you're intrigued by, any questions that you may have, of course, you can hit me up on Twitter at Lockdown Falcons or Facebook at Lockdown Falcons, or you can send an email to lockdownfalcons@mail.com. So, guys, we will close out the week. Tomorrow, I got a couple of more listener questions that I did not answer earlier in the week. So we'll try to get to those on tomorrow's episode. In addition, we might even talk about y'all's favorite wide receiver who just got cut by the New England Patriots. And now everybody's clamoring for him to come back, even though the fact that he got cut by the Patriots. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that on today's episode, but we might talk about it on tomorrow's episode. So definitely you guys want to stay tuned to that for another epic Locked On Falcons podcast on Friday. Until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.